Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, I thank you for tuning in. Of course, this is one of our official broadcasts for the original Million Women March, and now it's Universal Movement. And again, we thank all of you for tuning in, and we'd like to welcome you to tonight's program, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do tonight. But before we do, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And with that said, we are also very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, let's see. We had a special edition of New Day that aired on May the 19th, which of course was the Earth Day Recognition Born Day, as some call it, of none other than El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. And there was a very interesting kind of presentation, and we raised a few questions on that evening. And we're going to also kind of look at some of that a bit tonight as well, because some of the questions that we brought forward that night are still questions that we really want to look at on a continual basis. And that means, you know, what exactly are we accomplishing now in the spirit of Malcolm X, in the spirit of so many others? But, you know, what are we really accomplishing at this stage of the game? As far as liberation, it seems like people are a little afraid to say Black nationalism or Pan-Africanism, and only because of the misguidance or misunderstandings that have often come about. But, you know, that has been with anything and everything that we're talking about. So why there should be so much difference or so much, you know, trying to get away from certain ideals, especially in this day and age, why we would do that when it comes to something such as self-determination, the exemplification of self-determination that we saw in the idea of Black nationalism. And of course, when we talk about Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, well, we can't help but to think about Black nationalism. So, you know, we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. We want to start bringing some clarity or some other kinds of perspectives about what is Black nationalism or what is Pan-Africanism. We want to begin to bring it into the 21st century, and also not only that, kind of clear up some of what might have been said or what might have been thought to have been or whatever the situation is. What we know is we have to now move things forward. We now have to bring it up to where it needs to be brought up, raise that energy up, raise those frequencies up, because we know fundamentally what, in fact, it really means when we talk about self-determination, when we talk about sovereignty, when we talk about being free. You know, these are some of the things that Black nationalism, of course, represented. And so we've got to make sure that we do not let the enemy confuse what our ancestors, what our great warriors put out there for us to not only strive towards but to uphold. And, you know, we want to make sure that we do that, and we're going to do that. So we're going to have continual dialogue on this radio program and other radio programs that will talk about the ideas, the ideals, the mission, the comprehension or the realities of what Black nationalism, Pan-Africanism, and anything else, or a doctrine kind of way, a thing that we might want to call a theory or what have you. It doesn't matter, as long as it is going to help get the job done, that we need to know about it and we need to be grasping forward and embracing it. So, again, we're going to focus on a continuation of the dialogue from the other evening. And that particular dialogue had us to look closer at some questions. And some of those questions, of course, had to do with El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz and raising the issue or raising the question to what would El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz do or what do we think he would do or say today when it comes to certain types of things. And when we say certain types of things, we're talking about particularly, for example, reparations, What do we think of Hadhrawi Shabazz Malcolm X would say in regards to the issue of reparations, human rights? Also, about what we said, these Negroes, these people in this city, okay, we don't talk about Philly, always talking about Philly, but not just Philly, but in other cities as well. You know, what do we think that Hadhrawi Shabazz would say or do even as it pertained to some of the misrepresentation, some of the Negroes, some of the traitors, some of the perpetrators in our community? Okay, what would he say about some of them? And also a few other questions that we want you to ponder. And when you get the opportunity, if you are online, go to our chat room. We're going to open that up for you very shortly. But also you can call us at area code 646-652-2232, and you can let us know what your comment or what your thoughts about some of this is. A little later on, we're going to open up the chat room and open up the phone lines for you. So again, we want to know what you think. What would Malcolm X say about things like the reality of our citizenship in the U.S. today? What about the disrespect and the exploitation of our women and girls and the mistreatment of our elders? What do you think that Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz would say about the education, which really is the miseducation of our children? And what about some of these foods that we are eating and that we are giving to our children? Things that we don't even know what it is, okay? We want to get some answers to what you think Elhaj Malik might say today in the midst of some of these situations, and certainly the fall of America. We'd like to know what you think he would say about that. Certainly it's right in our midst, or maybe you think it isn't. We'd like to know what you think. And also, lastly, what do you think Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz would say about the black president and all that now goes with that? What do you think he would say about some of those things? Well, needless to say, that's going to be some good dialogue. And again, we're going to be talking more about that upcoming shows and today, an example, and also in the future. Okay. In the meantime, we want to remind you that the National Campaign for the Elimination of Black Women and Girls is in effect. And we're going to give you some updates on that tonight as well. We will also remind you that very shortly we're going to talk with Sister Seema Muhammadeh, who is the Chief Administrator for the Black Cross Nurses. And she has an event coming up very, very soon known as the Nina Simone Awards, Sister Awards, okay? She's going to tell us about that. She's going to also give us a report on this week's pilgrimage over to Malcolm X and Dr. Khalid Muhammad's grave site. And we're going to also talk about, you know, again, the necessary solidarity that's needed in building a global African woman sisterhood. Yep, the time has indeed come. So, that said, we're saying to our sisters, it's time for healing. With us healing, we can heal our families, we can heal our communities, and together we can win. We can get rid of the enemy. We can get rid of the monsters. We can get rid of the beast. But first, it starts with us. And with that said, we're moving right along. But remember, sisters, it's time for you. You know that. Many others know that, and we are about raising up our women and girls and making certain that they can say,
and start to sweat down. as it was, love would burn it through the night. There we would love only for it. Only shall share with you. My dear, is my only challenge. So I've got to push on through. But what I'm for is to the end of the night. 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 Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.
Indeed, and again, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. We want to remind you that the increase of rape, molestation, and other attacks on our women and girls have, in fact, risen to the point where we can no longer tolerate it. We can no longer just sit back and allow that to happen. Fortunately, blessfully, we have now come up with some real strategies, some real proactive kinds of things. And with that said, the National Task Force for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Africana, Black Women and Girls, is in full effect. Now, every Tuesday, there's a general call that we invite all of you to participate in. We'll give you more information about that later. And then there's also a Wednesday teleconference call for those who feel you are inclined to want to be more involved. Well, we have something just for you, and that is a national task force that is not only committed, that is not only very, very serious, but, I mean, these folks are so talented, so creative, and really about getting the job done, okay? So if you feel that you are one who really wants to help do something about this kind of violation that we are now seeing with our children, our young girls, that is, and with our women, we hopefully will have you to give us a call. Let us know that you really want to get involved, because, again, we now do have something that is extremely, extremely groundbreaking. And that also includes, would you believe, I'm so excited about this. It's like every time I think about it and I see it, it reminds me just how real, these things really are in terms of when you focus and project and believe that something can happen, then certainly it will. And in this case, we knew that we had to do something to address the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. And one of the first areas that we began to target was that dealing with rape, molestation, and other sexual kinds of violations. And when we put that information out there, several people heard the call and got on board, and since then have been working diligently to make certain that we are able to bring not only information, services, protection, and so forth, but also now we have available visual aid. Not just in a pamphlet form or not just in, some other kinds of presentations, but literally now you can download on your computer, on your iPad, on your iPhone, you can download the STAR program. The STAR program is a very, very creative self-help program specifically for women and girls, our women and girls, to help you know how to better respond to an attack, to help you know how to diffuse or break up the possibility of being raped or some other kind of attack. The STAR project, actually STAR stands for Survival Tactics Against Rape. But certainly it's not just against rape, it's against any type of attack that someone may place upon you. You do not have to have any experience. You do not have to be already, you know, trained in this area. It's really just knowing and being consciously aware of what it is you need to do. So what we suggest you do, if you want to download this media, this visual, instrumental, self-help media piece, all you need to do is go to www.ashecreations.com. You can download it. It's approximately 40 minutes of good information and training. The cost is only $5. And, of course, proceeds will help to benefit the Black Women's Defense League and the National Task Force for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Black Women and Girls. This production has been produced, has been designed, is narrated by a brother who is on our task force, Brother Mike Coakley Johnson. He is, he's just incredible. He also has a product out that we're going to be sharing with you more about in the near future as well. We talked about it briefly already here on the show, but certainly when we talk about our children, how we need to really focus on what types of information our children is getting access to. Well, needless to say, Brother Coakley has come up with something that really addresses that, and we're talking about Afro Man. So you'll be getting more information about this too. But we want to make sure, again, for right now, that you definitely tune in to making certain that you are safer, that your mother or daughter or wife or, you know, mate or queen, whichever you care to call it, is safer. This visual download, this visual presentation certainly helps to do that and then some. And this is just phase one of what we're getting ready to bring forward. There are many other components. And also a little later on, we're going to share something with you that a couple of messages that we got, one in particular. And most of our messages are good, mind you. When people send us emails and make phone calls to us, 9 times out of 10, they are very positive. Or this one person decided to send us a very, not only disturbing email, and we're going to share that person's name and email address with you, because what this person sent, and I'm sure it wasn't his real name, but we do have the email address that he sent it from. When we started sending information out saying how we need to begin to stand up and deal with this issue of rape and violence of our women, this pervert, I don't even know what to call a person like that, sent us a message saying something about you should just lay down and accept it. I mean, this is the kind of sick, beastly kinds of people, for lack of a better word, that we have roaming out here. Okay, they have nothing else better to do than to send some kind of message back like that. But that just gives you a clear idea as to the type of mentality that we're talking about. So, again, you know, we're going to find that information for you and put that person's email address out there, because, you know, you need to know the type of mentalities that we are still having to deal with today. You need to be able to see it up front and close. And you also need to be able to respond to these people. And that's what we're asking our folks to do. When you get this information, we want you to send them an email back and let them know you really don't appreciate it. At any rate, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, hopefully, Sister Basima Mube will be joining us. We're going to also come back and tell you more about some upcoming projects for the Men and Women March and its movement, including our 14-year anniversary celebration. We're going to also tell you more about our Black men, our brothers in support cadre. We have a group of brothers, of Black men, who have made the commitment to support the platform and mission of the Men and Women March and its movement. We're going to tell you more about them and a bunch of other things. So in the meantime, we want you to stay right there, and we'll be right back, okay? And we are waiting for, for Sister Basima to come in very soon. All right, in the meantime, we're just going to take a quick break, and, again, we'll be right back. Okay. Mm-hmm. right, quick little break right there. Had a little technical glitch there. But at any rate, we want to remind you that you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. In a few minutes, let's see, we're going to open up the chat room for you. And also, we are waiting for Sister Blessing to call in, and she should be doing that very shortly. But in the meantime, we're just going to share another musical piece with you, none other than Sweet Honey and the Rock. And prior to that, we were listening to none other than, of course, Bob Nestor Marley with No Woman, No Cry. But here we have Ella Song, a tribute to Ella Baker.
Thank you.
All right, of course, again, that was none other than Sweet Honey in Morocco. For those of you who are not familiar with that group, that is certainly one of the most, talented and most uplifting group of sisters that were able to come out. I guess they started coming out during the 60s, but I certainly started hearing them in the 70s. I'm not sure if they're still around, but because they are still around. I'm not sure they're actually, recording as they were before, but certainly they do concerts periodically, and we're able to, sometimes see them when they come into the Philly tri-state area. But again, that was Sweet Honey and Rock. If you are not familiar with them, you need to get familiar with them because they are a very, very powerful voice. We're still waiting for Sister Basima to call in. Don't know what's happening yet, but at any rate, what we want to do is remind you that Sister Basima and the Black Cross Nurses will be hosting a program. That program is going to take place, let's see if I can pull that up for you. It's going to be happening next Saturday, okay? It'll be happening next Saturday here in Philadelphia. It starts at 6 o'clock, or at 6:30. And let's see if I can pull it up again for you. I just had the flyer. Okay, I'm going to give you the exact address and also the telephone number as to where you can call to get ticket information. You can get ticket information by calling 267-231-9269. Again, 267-231-9269, or you can email C, and that's the letter C, blackcrossnurse@aol.com. Again, the letter C, then blackcrossnurse@aol.com. Okay, you can get ticket information there. I can tell you that the tickets are $25 per person. It is a fundraiser. This will help to benefit some of the work of the Black Cross Nurses, which they are, of course, doing training and other kinds of things to begin to provide services in our community. At this event, which will take place again from 6 to 9 p.m., at the Philadelphia Senior Center located at 504 South Broad Street here in Philadelphia. There's going to be live entertainment, a fashion show with Simply Neffa, who has a beautiful line of cultural garment, and there's going to also be refreshments there. And there are approximately 50 sisters from the Philadelphia tri-state area that are going to be honored on that day. Again, it starts at 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., and it's sponsored by the Universal Black Cross Nurses. And, of course, the Universal Black Cross Nurses is also a unit of the Universal UNIA. Okay, so we just want to make sure that you're able to support that event. And even if you're not able to support the event, you can also, of course, send a donation. So, again, if you want to do that, please contact Sister Basima Mube. And her number, again, is area code 267-231-9269. Again, 267-231-9269. And the email address is cblackcrossnurse@aol.com. Again, cblackcrossnurse@aol.com. Okay, what we're going to do is open up our phone lines. And, again, we're going to put those questions out to you. And if you are already on the line, all you have to do is, I think it's push 1 or something to let us know that you want to speak. And if you're listening online and you would like to deal with the chat, we're going to open that in a few minutes to address the questions that we're putting out to you tonight. And, again, you can also call at 646-652-2232. And remember, we want your view and what you feel about some of the questions that we've raised as it pertains to this year's commemoration of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. We wanted to kind of put out there what we thought or
what we kind of would you know, give some consideration to if Malcolm X was still with us here today. What do you think some of his responses would be to some of what's going on today? Now, on the show the other night, we had Brother Kimo Washington, the son of Father Paul Washington, who is a well-known activist from Philadelphia who made transition a few years ago, but he was known internationally for his work. We talked particularly about when Father Paul Washington stood up against this government, when the government had put up an embargo against Iran at the time, or Iraq, but I don't remember which one. This was a few years back. And Father Paul Washington and a few others, you know, defied the government's, you know, demand of not letting people do this and that, and they went up against them and went and, of course, faced charges of possible treason and some other nonsense. The bottom line is when we asked Brother Kima, who came on the other night, you know, what he felt about what some of the questions that we raised, and one of the things that he said very clearly is that he felt that El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, would be infuriated to see the type of behavior that is being inflicted upon our women and girls, the disrespect that is so, you know, just so everyday-ish. And, you know, we felt that that was a very poignant point that Brother Kima made, and certainly other brothers that come on the radio program also, you know, convey a similar thought. But we want to know what you think. What do you think about some of what is going on today? And, of course, certainly as it pertains to the exploitation and the disrespect of black women and girls, but also what do you think El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz would say in regard to the movement, or shall we say the struggle, the efforts and so forth as it pertains to reparations and human rights. Also, what do you think would be his response regarding citizenship in this country, or what we call citizenship? Also, what do you think El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz would say about these Negro traitors, these opportunists, these people who run around and act like they're supposed to be representing our best interests and then get in these little back rooms and sell us out? Oh, by the way, that reminds me. For those who may have gotten the e-blast earlier today, one of the other questions that we said, or one of the other topics that we said we would discuss, was that of what chickens are coming home to roost in Philly and in your community. So it kind of goes into one of the other questions that we had in terms of what we thought El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz might say. But we also wanted to ask you, do you have people in your community? Are they being exposed? And if so, are they some of the chickens that are coming home to roost? Because we got a few here in Philly. Every now and then it seems to happen, and certainly it's more then than now, and that needs to change because some of these people have been selling us out for quite a while, and we have pretty much let them. But here in Philly, again, every now and then we're able to see justice prevail, and I'm not talking about their justice, I'm talking about our justice, and it is beginning to happen here a little bit with some of these folk who certainly don't have the best interests of the people in mind, and, well, maybe in your community there's some similar things going on. If so, please give us a call and let us know. Also, we're going to open a chat room in a few moments, and you can also post it there. But the bottom line is, if this is going on, we need to start maybe holding some kind of consensus as to what's happening with some of the sellouts in our community. I mean, you know, do they, like, disappear? Do they repop up again? What happens with these people? Because they seem to have a history of this type of behavior. And again, here in Philly, there's an agency known as Philadelphia Housing Authority. And over the past few months in particular, it has been really put in the limelight with kinds of corruption that tend to be, you know, Philly. I mean, Philly's got this real flavor of corruption anyway. But when it comes to black folks, it has a unique kind of flavor. White folks do, well, we already know they corrupt, so it doesn't really matter. It's like no real news when they are kind of brought forward, or that, you know, somebody begins to expose them. It's like not a real big deal or a big issue because we already know they're corrupt, City Hall and the whole lot of them, all right? But every now and then, you know, some of the black folks step up and begin either taking the weight for some of their masters, or they just get caught up in their own little mess because they either get too greedy or too stupid. Either way, it becomes a very disadvantageous situation for our people. So now here we are approaching 2012. Oh, and by the way, apparently this wasn't doomsday today either, because you know, many of you are still listening and are still tuning in. So the European dude that was running around on TV and then the rest of them that were following him talking about today was the end of the world. I guess not, but nevertheless, I'm sure, you know, people will still continue to follow him and believe it. But the bottom line is, you know, what are we going to do with folk as we now approach 2012 and thereafter? How are we going to begin to deal with the people who routinely and ruthlessly sell us out? That's another one of the questions that we want to raise tonight. So, again, we ask you to give us a call. We ask you to share your view. We're going to open up the chat room in a few moments. And with that said, one other question we wanted to put out there to you before we open up the chat room. And let's see, let me just kind of review what that was. Don't see it in front of me right now. So what I think I'll do is just kind of go back to something else that we were looking at. Tell you what, I'm going to go to, okay, I see one of our sisters have a comment here, and I can imagine what this could be. I think this is Sister Manir getting ready to give us a comment on some of the question or some of the dialogue that we get ready to open our mic up into to talk about, again, how we need to begin to approach some of the sellout behavior. Now, again, please remember here at New Day, we don't just talk about this stuff to complain. I can assure you we have a plan. We have a plan for potential solution, okay? So very soon you're going to hear more about that plan. You're going to hear more about the Million Woman Party, the Million Woman Party for Self-Determination. Wow. You're going to hear more about what we need to have in our community when it comes to hearings. Okay, for some tribunals, but certainly hearings. You're going to hear more about what we're talking about in terms of becoming a movement. We're not talking about it from the way white people talk about it. And they Bogles created a whole new genre for movement. You hear white people running around talking about the so-and-so movement, and it's just, you know, it's so interesting to see what they're talking about and why they're calling it that. And I find it's really because it's to throw us off track so that we buy into this multicultural thing that they have. And it's just so very interesting. But the bottom line is, the Million Woman Movement is very clear and very adamant about its position, and it is that, first and foremost, we are focusing on the upliftment of our sisters globally, regardless of religion, regardless of nationality, all of that stuff. And then with that, of course, the empowerment and the strengthening of our communities and families. Those are key and primary focuses as well. But anyway, we're going to tell you more about that very shortly. I'm going to go to our live line, and again, I think this might be Sister Manir, and I think she might have a comment or a response to the question or the several questions that we raised tonight, especially pertaining, what are we going to do about the sellouts? Are chickens really coming home to roost? And not only are they coming home to roost, how can we now broil them? Okay. Sister Manir, is that you?
Peace, Sister Empress. How are you?
I'm good, sis. I'm good.
Wow. An honor of our black man, black shining prince, El Hajj El Malik Shabazz.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I've been, like, studying his documentaries over the week, actually paid much honor and respect, you know, speaking his name out, promoting his documentaries, T-shirts, and everything. I wanna just give the utmost honor to one of the boldest black men besides Dr. Khaled Muhammad. You know, I just honor his legacy. What would he say? I mean, he would definitely be furious, outraged about what's happening in the 21st century in this day and time. One of his famous quotes that I, you know, actually, several of them, but he said that we'd never be respected as citizens of America until we take our case to the United Nations. You know, we won't never be respected as citizens of America.
Right.
And citizens advocating for civil rights.
That's right.
We have to actually advocate for the human rights and dignity to be receiving equal protection as any other citizen on the shores of the United States of America. I mean, he stood bold in the face of our Negro leaders, sell out Negroes across the board, as well as standing up against imperialism and capitalism. And I mean, he just was a primary example about what black men should be in their communities, as well as, you know, the sisters who stand with them. About the politicians here, wow. We basically, folks who consider to be calling themselves, you know, revolutionary or revolutionized or whatever they call themselves, you know, much respect to the ones who are actually out there, you know, standing on what they actually represent if they are revolutionaries. But basically here we got folks that consider to be that, has just been co-opted, neutralized, and everything by these politicians. You know, we got, you know, sellout leadership across the board. Even the ones we hear on the street that profess to be, you know, bold and strong, you know, you try to put them to the test to stand up in opposition to, you know, these dictators that's running amok in our communities. We seem to have a few black men doing that, and primarily women standing up, you know, in the face of oppositions. Everybody from our black elected officials, from the president on down, you know, to me personally, has just been, you know, shucking and jiving with, you know, the real work that need to be done in terms of empowering and overthrowing this corrupt system. How we gonna get there? I don't know with these type of leaders, but they definitely need to be moved out the way. And we need, you know, we got these rallies, people rallying. And we know, you know, mass mobilization is definitely key, but if it's not progressive with a direct action and consistently with a plan of action, you know, this stuff is useless. You know, we just got people, like, running around here thinking rallies is the thing of the order of the day, you know, but besides doing the work, you know, that come after that, you know, in terms of, you know, giving the necessary powers to the people who they profess to be advocating for, you know, it's just not happening. You know, it's just like a lot of people trying to get some kind of resume or, you know, some kind of status, you know, with their own selves, you know, and it's just terrible.
But you know, sis, I tell you, it took me a while to come to this reality, but what I now know, and I'm sure you do as well, is that for the most part, a lot of that is not going to change. People are going to still do that. They've been doing that. They're going to continue to do that. I think the difference now comes into what we're going to do. Those of us who have been blessed to have some kind of comprehension, understanding, overstanding of this matter, it's really now going to be so important that we demonstrate and exemplify what it is that needs to happen or what we believe need to be happening. We just got to go ahead and do that and not expect them to do anything. But the piece of this that has to also be said is we've got to now protect ourselves, see, meaning unfortunately, other folks' actions have had a kind of effect on us, and it has been injurious. It has been very damaging. So now what we've got to do is make sure whatever nonsense that they do, that it stays kind of to where whoever dealing with them and their whole thing. Keep it. We got to be clear now about they don't represent us. We're not trying to represent them, and
right.
Therefore, you know, whatever they're doing, at some point we just got to say, whatever they're doing, hey, good riddance to you, just as long as you don't get in our way or try to mess up what we're trying to do, then it's all good, okay? But then,
see, but the problem is,
right, go ahead.
And I definitely understand what you're saying, but it seemed like these folks are the one who's gaining exposure, you know, or having the ability, I guess, being, I don't know, I guess I call it coonery and buffoonery in front of, you know, the face of these folks. So they
right.
It's like the media love to see this type of stuff. And these are the
right.
ones who we know they ain't going to go but so far, and they ain't going to do
right.
so much. These are the
right.
ones that got media exposure, able to get on these different black radio stations and these newspaper articles. Like, they doing something, and it's just I'm just sick and tired,
wow.
you know. And they just basically like they working with these people. They've been neutralized, and they not doing what they supposed to do in terms of for their people. And it's
but
just,
again,
it's sick,
it is. But again, I
it's
think
sick,
the
man.
Solution
Saboteurs,
or the
what you call them,
right? And I mean, there's so many names. They're gatekeepers. They are buffers. All of those different things. But I think again, the key thing that's going to make the difference is for us to build what it is that we need to build, have that represented in the way that we need to have it represented, and just have that so strong that whatever they're doing, it is not even going to matter. It is not going to matter. And so I think that's how we
speak
have
on
to
that. You know, even though we know that's what we're doing, are going to do, and you know we're
mm-hmm.
definitely going to do it. But the thing is that, you know, folks like Malcolm, folks like Dr. Khaled, these people was basically targeted by their own people for exposing them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are very treacherous that call themselves our people, you know. And you be, you know, trying to do things aside from, you know, what they doing, and I totally agree with you that we must do what we must do. But these folks basically are like we the target.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like they targeting
we have
us, and not only is the daggone white man, but you got the daggone our own people who are basically maneuvered or either working in the interest of these white domination, white supremacist people, you know, and
but
they don't even realize it. Some of them are, but some of them probably being maneuvered don't even realize. But they are,
but we
are, our folks is our own worst enemy.
But this was told to us early on when we heard Mother Harriet Tubman said, I could have freed more if they only knew they were slaves. We knew then that it would be those who really want to be good Americans. And so in this day and age, now that we understand that, we need to function accordingly. That's not going to change. A new being, and I ain't talking about a Nubian, but a different type, a clone type of being has been developed in this country. And they've been put there to make it seem as if they are representing the original people. So now we have to understand that that is what has happened. And those people are going to struggle against us for their survival. That's what they're there to do. So now that we know and understand this, we need to respond accordingly. We at some point are going to have to separate ourselves from them. That's what it's really going to come down to, because other than that, we'll be fighting in their world.
Right.
See, because that stuff they're dealing with, all these politics and all this nonsense that these people are dealing with. And, see, and I say this because I'm not sure about you, Sister Lanier, and other brothers and sisters that are listening, but last week, and Philly was one of those election things going on. And, I mean, you know, after you see X amount of this stuff, you can almost just sit back and just call every step of it before it even happens. So now we have a former mayor who ran two terms and therefore can't run anymore because in Philly you can only run two terms. So what he did was he went and registered as an independent so that he can run again.
Hmm.
All right. Now, this same person has helped this city to become so gentrified and so, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. But it's almost like a catch-22. So all over the country, we're dealing with all these politicians, you know. And what are we going to do? Well, the reality is there's not much we really can do about any of that. Why would we even want to? So we've got to get out of the notion of trying to save America. Really.
Yeah, but these
that's
folks that are in these high elected officials, they making decisions that affect the whole community. You know,
well,
and that's
that
the sad
true.
Part about it, you know. And
that is true.
It's just so sad. And then we got the same people, they know about the high unemployment rate. They know about the racially selective mass incarceration that's going on. They know about all the health disparity. I mean, it's like they keep rallying about all of this stuff over and over and over. This ain't nothing new. I mean, like, what do it take?
Well,
what do it
right.
take to get these people out of the way? Like,
but that's not, sister. This is why, again, and I'm going to stay very clear and very adamant about this position, seeing that this has happened over 500 years now. That's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. And what we have to do is draw the line in the sand. Those who want to be with us, come on with us. Those who don't see you don't want to be you. And that's unfortunately the way it's going to have to go. Because at some point we have to look at our survival. The system and the people who represent it and the people who want to uphold it are about our destruction. Those of us who make it an effort, a point, a commitment to try to represent our ancestors, to try to uphold the traditions and the legacy of our people, of our culture, of our traditions, of our history, for them, we're a threat. So they are going to do whatever they can to eliminate us. So now, with that known and understood, at some point, and I mean that point is really about now, we have to say, are you with us or not? And if you are not, cool. But to keep thinking that they're going to all like, you know, it's not going to happen. And we need to be smart enough to know that that ain't going to happen like that. And that don't mean we won't leave a door open. But at the same time, we can't keep risking our people thinking that these other knuckleheads are going to change. They're not. We got people running around. Anytime you see folks in this day and age, and I know some of you aren't going to like what I'm going to say, but I got to really now do and say what I think needs to be said, and it's this. anytime you have sisters going around in our community with beautiful locks, I mean, twined, curled, I mean, you know, naturally so locks. Some call them dreadlocks, some call them not. Nevertheless, but then dye them blonde. Now,
no,
I know
red.
It's all about freedom. No, no, but see, you know what? I'm gonna be honest. I can accept red. I really could. But see, there's something real beastly about blonde. There's something real interesting about blonde hair. Okay, if you understand the psychology, see, our people are always been creative artistically. So if you go red, blue, green, or whatever, you know what? From an artistic standpoint, I could deal with that. But there's nothing about blonde, because that represents a white woman, and everybody knew that. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? There's a psychosis with that. See? Only your hairdresser knows for sure. So I'm saying that to say we live in a time today where everything is so confusing, and our culture, our history, our legacies, our traditions are getting so, you know, mixed up, and we can't continue to do that or allow it. So, again, I'm saying at some point we're going to have to draw the line in the sand. We're going to have to call this stuff the way it is. And again, if that's what people want to represent and be about, so be it. However, is that representative of our ancestors? And that's where the key questions will now have to go. Are we doing the things that really continue the legacies and represent the original people? Say, and folks don't really, they don't want to really look at that. They don't really want to, you know, deal with that concept or, you know, embrace that kind of reality, because they rather just do what they know. And, I mean, like I said, you know, the theory of America is, you know, freedom of speech and all of this, and we know that's all a lie, too. You say the wrong thing, you know what goes with that. So, oh, that's an illusion. But the bottom line is, we have to set the standard and set the tone. And that is exactly what we're doing. Wow, I was really hoping our sister would have called in by now. She must have really got tied up. But we're gonna have her back anyway tonight and, you know, deal with building sisterhood, because that's what we were going to talk about tonight. And we're talking about Sister Basima. She was due to call in, and I know she's been working on this program all week, you know, with coming up for Saturday. I'll be attending, Sister Pam will be attending, and about 50 other sisters will be, you know, there in recognition of the great legacy of who we call the Empress. In fact, that was the first person that I was acquainted with known as the Empress. I had the opportunity when I was in school to interview Empress Nina Simone, and I will tell you, it was a life. I mean, you talk about an experience that was unbelievable, to sit with her and, you know, listen to her wisdom and, you know, yeah, just to know and understand some things that she had been through, had went through, you know, some of the sacrifices and some of the turmoil that you know, she had to experience in that industry. And then, you know, being a vocal, very vocal black woman, you know. So it was an experience. But anyway, Sister Basima decided that she would begin an annual event in order to continue that recognition and continue that spirit of Nina Simone. And so this Saturday, again, she's going to have the first annual Nina Simone Awards, and that's going to happen from 6 to 9 here in Philadelphia, 504 South Broad Street is the location. And we'll give that phone number out again for folks. If you're in the Philadelphia area and you want to get tickets, we'll get that phone number out for you again very shortly. Okay, let's see. What else did we want to cover tonight? Well, we've covered several of the questions. We want to remind you that the chat room is open for those of you who may want to venture over there. You certainly can do so. But again, you know, we really would like to know what you feel about what you think Brother Malcolm X would say about some of what's going on today. We also would like your opinion about how you feel. Very shortly, we are going to launch a national campaign that is going to raise the question and the issue about artists, black artists. We want to know who you think are the 10 most exploitive, degrading, you know, raunchy or whatever artists, both in the music area, so-called rap, it could be R&B, whatever, but also in the music videos. So very soon you'll be able to go to a website and you will be able to vote or take the survey and let us know who you feel are the 10 worst artists that are out there today, particularly those who tend to want to exploit our women and girls. So we'll be telling you more about that next week. We'll be able to give you the actual website that you'll be able to go to so that you will be able to vote, and also the email addresses and so forth and so on. All right. So, Manir, you have anything coming up in the Newark area anytime soon?
Well, actually, I'm basically working on the Two Women Build Two initiatives. And looking forward to our meeting on Wednesday with the Congressman Donald Payne Senior, aide to try to get this run, hop, skip, jump, walk, whatever any person want to do gender related violence.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things. So we have a Women Build Two. DPI training initiative, and also Women Build 2 in partnership with the Energy Advisor Group, try to get some women employed. We're looking for 15 women in both initiatives to learn energy auditing, one with the DPI training, and also energy consultant. That means going out to various different residents, commercial buildings, trying to transfer their electric and gas to low-cost energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two of the things that I'm working on. So all together, about 30 women are trying to get trained and employed.
Wow, okay. Well, we are definitely moving forward, and it is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. We will want folks to realize that in building a movement, it's a lot of work, and, you know, it's not something that can be done overnight. So we feel really blessed to be at this point, at this juncture of things, and seeing the types of things that we are able to bring forward. I mean, you know, we have only been in existence, in reality, a few years, especially in comparison. And with the things that are being accomplished, I certainly feel, you know, very proud and very honored about that. And speaking of that, we want folks to know that we're getting ready to offer a new Million Women Movement membership because we're getting ready to really bring forward some of our not only platform and mission-orientated kind of direct action pieces, but some new things, too, that we had kind of held on to until we were able to clear out some unnecessary nonsense that was kind of lingering over us. What we want you to know is that in October there is going to be our 14-year official commemoration here in Philly from October the 18th through the 26th. And at that point, you will be able to really participate in upcoming planning sessions, one being for our trip to Africa next year, as well as the summit that will focus on the issue of violence and abuse of our women. But also, you'll be able to join some of our exclusive clubs. We're getting ready to offer many, many things for our women and girls, including associations that will have connected to them clubs. One of the areas that we're looking at is clubs or associations for sports, in athletics. So unlike other groups, we really, you know, we like to kind of think a little differently. So in the line of one of the projects that we're working on, which of course is dealing with the issue of violence and abuse of our women, one of the clubs or associations that we'll be offering come October is archery, riflery, and fencing. So, I know you like that, Sister Manera.
Definitely.
So, we know that, you know, some of these things that we are about to do may appear to be a bit controversial, perhaps. But when you really look at it in the bigger scheme of things, I think what many will realize is that these are the types of things that serious societies and groups really tend to do, serious when they are about uplifting their own people. So we want to now begin to make certain that our women are able to enter into areas that you usually don't see us. I mean, certainly you now see us more in tennis. We didn't used to be in tennis at all, and now, you know, not only are we in it, but, you know, Serena and Venus are dominating it. But you know, we want to go into some other areas where it's not necessarily so, you know, socially accepted, shall we say. So what we want to look at is archery. Archery is not only a sport. It is a very interesting field because you don't see many black folks in it, and you certainly don't see black women in it, but it is one that does have a large range of competition. So we want our girls, our women, to be able to experience being able to be competitive, being able to go into tournaments, being able to travel. And so by going into certain areas like archery, like fencing, and also riflery, these things not only help to create a mindset of you know, of discipline, but also certainly one that allows a person to develop their self-esteem. And, of course, with that, that will always lend towards being able to better protect yourself. Okay, so we deal with things very holistically, and with that, we'll be able to offer that to our members come October, and you'll be able to get kind of first glimpse of some of the things that we are now prepared to bring forward for our sisterhood. So, you know, we're in a very exciting time, very exciting time. So with Sister Manera being able to share with us more about Women Build 2, and this way, our women and girls will be able to get better insight into how they can obtain what some may feel are non-traditional skills. But nevertheless, we know that in building our community, all of us have to be able to roll our sleeves up when possible and pitch in and, you know, do the work that is necessary. And so we want to be able to now not only talk about that, but demonstrate it. And as we proceed in looking at some of these properties that are sitting in our communities, a lot of them are drug infested, a lot of them are just collecting a lot of trash and just, you know, a whole negative vibe. Well, our position is it's time for that to change. So with Women Build 2, with our brothers in support of the Mean Women Movement, it is our intention to turn some of these vacant lots and some of these where trash is being thrown. Those areas can now produce some foods, you know, some fresh garden vegetables. And then some of these properties that we now see are just getting ready to fall down and really are there to be torn down so that other people can come in there and take over the area. We're now getting ready to be able to get some control over that and raise some of that up ourselves. So, Sister Manera, congratulations to you, and continue to do the good, positive work that you're doing. And, you know, I know that as we continue, you know, this is going to really show our people just how powerful, how on point, you know, our sisters really are. and our brothers too, because I can't. I always have to say we have a serious group of brothers who are showing us a lot of love and a lot of support, and you know, we appreciate them, you know, very, very much. So let folks know how they can connect with you, Sister Lanier, if they're interested, if some sisters are interested in getting involved with the Women Build 2 project. Let them know how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, I could be reached at 973-818-4460 or MWMESSEXCTY at AOL.com. So that's MWM Essex, I mean Essex County, but county is abbreviated, CTY at AOL.com. Or they can reach me at the national MWM, where you would actually connect with me, and also Defenders 2012 at gmail.com.
Right. Yep. And also we'd like for our sisters to know that at an upcoming summit in October, we're really interested in knowing sisters who have an interest in various areas of development. In other words, if you're looking to get further development in a specific area of interest, for example, if you are maybe considering running for an office, a political office, and if not a political office per se, you know, to have some kind of role in some of what's going on in your community, okay? Okay, that was really strange, Sister Manera. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Let me see if I can get you back. That was very, very strange. For a few moments, we had a little blackout there, and I know that that happens every now and then, and I guess this was one of the times it was to happen, but we just experienced a little quick power outage for a moment. We just got knocked off of the air. But it's okay. Usually, as we say, if we give it a few minutes, we can get back on. Sister Manera, are you still there?
I'm still here, sis.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, see, you know by now what to do.
I just called back. I was like,
I know that's right, and that is what happened. So we lost some of the folks that were on. But, you know, again, we always try to remind people that this is technology. And every now and then, things can happen, and sometimes will happen. So you have to know just to take it in stride and continue to move forward, call back. But we only have a few minutes left anyway, so we, you know, was in good time. But what we want to reiterate is that October is going to really allow those sisters who are really serious about building real sisterhood, you know, they're going to have the opportunity now to do so. We've been able to weed out, you know, people who just didn't have the right spirit in the very beginning. You know, and with that just created some unnecessary drama and took up a lot of our time unnecessarily. But again, you know, fortunately we've been blessed because we did continue to uphold the vision that was given. You know, our ancestors have really made certain that these people have been pushed out of our way. I don't know if you received the article that I sent you, Sister Manera, on a little situation here in Philly with various individuals who now are really going to find themselves in a very precarious situation. These people were, in fact, the people who, you know, created such a confusion here in Philly after the Million Woman March. So, it seems that, you know, they really got caught up in some things that I warned all of them not to get involved in the city's, you know, kind of quid pro quo game, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my kind of game. And also the, you know, the corporate game that, that these people play. You know, you got to get a grant. You got to get, you know, some corporate sponsoring. Yes. So
our people always get caught up in that. We have a few folks here that they do under the bus. They used them and they wrung them out for dry, you know, and now we have a few here that's facing corruption charges, you know.
Right.
And they I always say,
I encourage folks to get whatever they can get from this government because they do,
in fact,
you know, it's beyond them owing it to us. It's so far beyond that.
Reparations, right.
Yeah, you know, reparations and a whole bunch of other stuff.
All kinds of reparations, right.
You ain't that right. There you go. Absolutely. But the thing that people get caught up in is that they really believe this stuff. They really believe when they get into those circles and they really get into wanting to uphold that whole, you know, thing and then try to do their thing, and it's just crazy. They really become a part of the system. You know, and so I remember when we had brothers amongst us like Dr. Matula Shakur and others, you know, they taught very clearly how to do certain things, why to do it in that way, and you knew that you was not trying to be about nothing that they were talking about in no way, shape, fashion, or form. It was all a game, you know. But these people today, they get in it and become such a part of it that they forget. Mm. You really went in there to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole idea of being a spook
side
by the door, all they ended up doing was being a spook.
Got sidetracked.
Period.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. It is unfortunate that our sisters, you know, will go down the drain. Down the toilet, you know, because of probably some white folks' nonsense, and they fronting for them. But, hey, like I said earlier, very soon lines will be drawn in the sand for a lot of people. So they need to heed to it. They really do. and you know, get out of it while they can.
Absolutely.
But anyway, c'est la vie.
Right on.
Such is life. But sister, I'm glad you were able to kind of chat with me for a while. I'm sure Sister Bastima is just really flooded with a whole bunch of work, because I know what it's like to be a week into your event and, you know, having to like do so many things. So hopefully if time will allow, we might be able to do a special edition again later on this week, but if not, I'll definitely provide a report next Saturday night, because I will be attending the first annual Nina Simone Sister Award. So either way, we'll be able to provide some information and insight on it. We want to remind everyone, of course, too, that the Black Cross Nurses is, in fact, moving forward, of course, in the legacy and the tradition of the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And, again, you know, the VWN movement will, in fact, be connecting with the Black Cross Nurses, because one of our objectives is to begin providing services in our community. We're going to provide services to our women and girls, of course, but we're also looking at providing certain services in the community that's going to be of a healthy, holistic nature. In fact, tomorrow, if you're in the Philly area, come out and join us over at Love Park. We'll be there from 3 to 5 p.m. We'll have a nourishing meal that we'll be sharing. We're going to service the women and the children first, and then whatever remains from that, you know, anyone is welcome to partake. But it will be a nourishing meal, and we decided to do that once a month. While the weather is warm, we'll do it up to October. So, again, if you are in the Philadelphia area and you want to volunteer and help us provide our meal tomorrow, we certainly appreciate it. We certainly welcome it. We'll be there again at 15th and JFK tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. And we'll be doing it every third Sunday, starting in June up to October. Okay? All right, my sister, again, I thank you for sitting in for Sister Basima for tonight. And also for, you know, just sharing the information and all that we do and talk about here. And want to remind everyone again that if you are interested in becoming involved in our task force, our national task force to fight and eliminate violence and abuse of our women, you can send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call area code 267-636-3802, and we will forward some information to you if you wish to be a task force member, or if you just want to call in to the general call that we have on Tuesday. And that's for anyone that just wants to get information or share a story or what have you. But again, the primary focus is dealing with violence and abuse, the elimination of violence and abuse. And lastly, we remind you again, Brother Mike Kofi Johnson, the STAR Project is now available for download on your computer or on your iPhone, iPad. You just can go to www.ishaycreations.com. Again, www.ishay, which is A, or you can say Ashay, Ashay, A-S-H-E, creation, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N-S.com. The download is $5, and part of that proceeds will go to the work, the continued work of the National Task Force, the Black Women's Defense League, and so forth. Okay, so Lanier, you got some close
Was you able to see if he put it on the hard copy? And I also wanted to find out if you had a hard copy of the Million Women's March event in 97. I want to promote those two documentaries at my store and on my merchant cart.
We'll definitely work on that. Unfortunately, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but one of my lockers that I had a lot of our information in got broken into, and a lot of our original stuff was stolen. So what we're going to be doing over the course of the summer is putting a call out to sisters and brothers to contribute photos and tapes and different things that they may have had from 97. But we do have one piece of footage, but it has to be transformed into DVD form. We have an old VHS copy, so we're now in the process of putting that into a DVD form. So the answer is it's coming. Let's put it that way. Now, in terms of Brother Mike, did you see the preview? Because along with the download information, okay, you did see that. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to forward you his email address, and you can connect with him directly about obtaining the DVD.
Okay.
Okay, because he said he would do that.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
and as far as the MWM, I know Tap Video had it. Let's see, I didn't want to actually purchase it. There's no problem.
Right.
Purchasing.
No, we have it.
But I wanted to,
And then the thing with, again, I'm letting people know, over the years, there has been little to no support for our work. So we need to let people know that. We need to let people know that for the past 14 years, we have really had to struggle to make certain that we kept the presence and the voice of the Million Women March alive and well and moving forward, as you well know. So the reality of that is there are a lot of groups who have benefited from our work. There are a lot of groups who are still able to sell products and other types of things as a result of the Million Women March. And never once, well, maybe some of them might have once, but many of them never once contribute anything back. So I'm just, you know, letting it be known that we plan to really make it clear who some of these people are. We needed their support over the years, and we have not gotten it. And it's okay, because now, you know, we ain't asking for it, really. But at the same time, people need to know that if you're so consciously black and you so about history, we want to know how come these professors and these directors at these various black studies departments and the scholars who have the books that talk about the, you know, the various movements and this and that about people, how come we weren't worthy enough to be a part of that? So, you know, we're going to get all of that, but we're only down to the last minute, so that's another conversation to be continued.
Well, I definitely want to let them know we're alive and well.
So no doubt. No
not only
doubt.
Promoting the brochures, but I want to make sure the brother who created the MWM violence, the defense against rape and violence DVD for us. We want that
right.
promoted, as well as
That's
the
right.
Million Women's March. In 1997,
no doubt.
So.
No doubt.
Definitely
all right,
get the word out.
We are
get the word out. Build our
well,
funds.
You know, we're definitely going to do that. There's no question. All right, family, we want to thank all of you again for tuning in tonight. My name is Empress Chi. You have been listening to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation, and we will be black next year. All right. Until then, we leave you with these words. Of power, prosperity, and peace in the spirit of Ma'at-Hotep. But remember, there can be no peace without justice. There can be no Hotep without Ma'at. Until next week, Tutana. Promotion to the
peace.
Peace.
Talking to you, we believe in freedom.